Good morning and welcome back. I am your host for the next 1 hour, 60 minutes, as you partake in a little court radio right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
We're all set up. We're ready for you, folks. Sit back and relax. It's a little bit nasty out there. You don't often see, as you're coming down the Schuylkill, the following sign. Beware of snow squalls.
Oh, that was even hard to say.
I can't get that.
That was on 76 this morning?
It was. Uh-oh. It was.
I missed that sign.
Usually that's out in like the Midwest.
Yeah, squalls.
Yeah, squalls. It's like an Indian
term. Can you
term.
Spell squall?
S-Q-U-A-L-L. I just saw the sign.
Right, you are, Mr. Weissman. Well, but you can't remember a movie you saw last night.
Well, that's true.
All right.
Yeah. I did remember the hand of poker I had last night.
Ah, you were playing again, were you? How'd you do?
We were up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Were. Yeah. Were.
No, are. We were as in left up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Always a good
you heard, that's always a good thing.
Always a good thing.
You hear that voice? You probably see him if you're watching YouTube Live, because we do have a camera on him. Maybe you haven't seen him before. I don't know if he was on when we had YouTube
Live. Yeah, that's
live.
Right. I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I've been here once or twice before.
Okay. So he is the one and only Kenneth Edelin. Good
yes,
morning.
Sir. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Mr. Edelin is a criminal defense attorney representing those accused of crimes.
Yes, sir.
And he started out in the defender's office, worked in the city of Philadelphia defender's office, worked in the federal defender's office, and he's just always been around criminal law issues. He's cut his teeth. He's a seasoned trial attorney.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, he is.
It's a polite way of saying old.
Is that what it means?
graduate of Morehouse College and Howard University.
You can't get more HBCU than that, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He is credentialed.
Hi.
Good morning and welcome to the show, Ken.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Happy New Year to you.
Same to you.
And actually, happy birthday. You just had a birthday not too long ago.
Yeah,
I did.
We won't tell the age.
Oh, well, he told the world.
Yeah.
He knows. Everybody knows.
Did he lie?
Old as dirt.
Did he lie?
He told the truth.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was in this room, at least.
Right. Old as dirt. So, you know, today we're going to talk about some criminal issues. But, folks, if you have any legal problem whatsoever or you're just pondering a question that has to do with the law, give us a call at 215-227-2727.
Especially with this weather coming.
Yes.
I expect your phones will be ringing.
I would venture that you'd be correct. I was up at our new King of Prussia office yesterday, and we're all staffed up and open. The doors are open.
Finished, refurbished. Oh, yeah. Everything's ready.
Everything is
open
sweet.
For business.
Yeah. You can't miss it if you're going down, I guess that's called DeKalb Pike.
DeKalb Pike, yeah.
727 West DeKalb, right across from Buckman Ski Shop. You will find the newest outpost of My Philly Lawyer.
Is that what they are? Outposts?
Yeah, as we get out.
Way stations.
As we get out into the far counties of the Philadelphia metropolitan area. Who knows? One day soon, maybe in Adams County.
Mm.
I don't even know where Adams County is. I just know we
we
have a county in Pennsylvania. It's called Adams.
Okay.
Sounds far away.
Of the 67, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Of the 67 counties that you've visited, all of them.
I did.
Yeah.
I had to go to every one at one time.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprising what's in this state. You'd be surprised how rural it is in the middle. There's like nothing for the longest strip. There are no people.
Well, you know, I mean, but that's been the mantra for a while.
Yeah.
You got Philly, you got Pittsburgh, then you got Alabama in the middle.
It's rural. It really is. It really I will never forget the state trooper colonel telling me that there are people they never see, even a dead body maybe, but they're out there.
Nice. Thanks for sharing that.
Well, they pick up the roadkill and everything.
Right.
All right. Well, anyway, Ken.
Sir.
What's been going on in the criminal world that is of interest to our listeners?
Are we allowed to curse?
No? Okay. Only when we're on a terrestrial break.
Well, okay, yeah.
YouTube, they allow that, but over the FCC airwaves, that's still frowned upon.
Understood. Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, what everybody is concerned about, rightfully so, is the influx and the uptick in the ICE folks and their involvement and how they're treating those of us who may not have been born here, and quite frankly, those of us who were born here. And that is obviously a concern. The continued and the escalation of the trampling of civil rights and liberties and freedoms that we purport to enjoy here. So I imagine that is a hot topic and a concern for most of your listeners.
So if somebody were contemplating going out to march to have some opposition protest to this whole ICE manifestation that we've been seeing, what would be your best advice to them?
As you have often heard me say, my one mantra is get home safely. You got to get home to your family. That is your number one concern. That is your number one job. I would also suggest 1A is keep your mouth closed. Don't talk to the law enforcement. Don't talk to police. Rarely, if ever, are you going to talk yourself out of a situation. More often than not, are you going to do is make yourself in more trouble, make your situation worse.
I've seen recently on, I don't know why, you know, maybe it's because of the algorithms.
The who?
The algorithms.
Very good.
Thank you. I can learn. Algorithms that I'm being exposed to. But I see a lot of people sitting in the driver's seat of a car, and then the officer's up there, and he's like, okay, give me your driver's license and registration. Why? Why'd you stop me?
Right.
You didn't have a reason to stop me. Okay, you're under arrest. Get out of the car. What? I'm not getting out of the car. You don't have a reason to tell me to get out of the car. Call your supervisor.
Like, and then your window ends up broken. Your right. Door ends up yanked out. You get drug across the street. And so avoid all that.
And so what would your advice be to that person sitting behind the wheel of the car?
Give your ID.
Yep.
Establish who you are. And don't answer any other questions. You're not obligated to answer any further questions. Give your ID. Let them know that you're here. You are a person. You are lawfully doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then go back to rule number one. Get home safely to your family.
Okay. What if they really don't have a reason? Is that the place and time?
It's never the place and time on the side of the road, on the corner. Again, keep your mouth closed. Do what you're supposed to do. And then get in contact with an attorney and let us deal with the legalities of the stop. The legalities of the situation. And I understand it gets touchy. I understand you want to protect your rights. I understand you want to assert your rights.
The man sitting to your left.
I'm not going in.
He's.
Why not?
He ain't taking me, bro.
It's about to snow. You might as well go in. I see you steaming.
Because there are too many instances of people who get snatched up and taken to another country, taken to another state. Relatives don't know where they are, where they're going, what happens. Then they come back. If they come back, battered, beat up, and bruised.
But how do you stop that? How do you prevent that?
I honestly don't know.
From
because
getting
it seems
beat up
to me
or
people
tased
are
or
indiscriminately
shot
just being stopped at random. And yes, some folks are going to feel some sort of way about that.
Absolutely.
You know, as a black man, we have triggers that other folks don't have.
Absolutely.
When it comes to law enforcement.
Absolutely.
And I believe some folks are counting on that for bigger reasons. But I'm just saying, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm scared. If
oh,
an
there's
ICE
no question.
Agent pulls me, if an ICE agent pulls me over,
no
I'm
question.
Afraid. Police, no. ICE, I'm going to be afraid.
Absolutely.
That's
and
the truth. And I don't know that I'll get a chance to call you or
Dean.
Yeah.
And I would suggest that fear also goes to regular law enforcement. But again, your job, your main job, if you have a family at home, is to get back to them. Your job is not to have them come view you at the morgue.
To take them out for a while.
I feel there's a saying we have. Even when we comply, we die. Black folks. That's how I feel with ICE.
There's no question. I'm not disputing
that. When I'm saying publicly to all of you, I'm going to defend myself. I'm not going.
There's a difference between defending yourself, and I would never tell anybody not to defend yourself.
You break my window,
yourself.
It's on. I'm not smiling, and I'm dead serious.
I understand that. And that is a choice that we have to make. However,
you are at a distinct disadvantage under those circumstances.
Not with what I'm driving with.
You don't have.
And permitted.
You don't have what they're driving with, nor do you have the numbers.
I'm saying right now, there are a lot of folks that think just like me for serious, legitimate reasons and concerns when it comes as it relates to ICE agents. Folks are on these streets panic. I hear it.
They are legitimate and they are serious.
What police officer comes to you with a mask on?
I suggest to you they don't trump your responsibility to your family.
I feel you. I hear all of that. I'm speaking for the person who feels just like I do. And there are a whole lot of us that feel this way. We don't think we will survive the ICE agent encounter fairly. We think they're unjust. And we think that the best thing we better do is protect ourselves from them.
As well as your family. Protect your responsibility to your family. I'm not disputing anything about what you're saying. I'm not disputing the fear. I'm not disputing the concern. Nor am I disputing the illegality of what they're doing.
Thank you.
All I'm saying is get home to your family.
I'll do my best. But hopefully they'll get home to theirs.
Absolutely.
You pull me over, that's going to be a problem.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure you got my number on speed dial.
Yeah, no, right. On speed dial.
A lot of friends in Philadelphia feel that way. They call it F-A-F-O for a reason. Around and find out Philly for a reason.
Across the country. That fear is legitimate.
It is legitimate. Thank you. It is, man. It really is, y'all.
But
YouTube audience doesn't write, Dean.
You need to survive to fight another day.
You're right.
And as Ken said, they outnumber you numbers.
That's true.
In bullets, in every way imaginable. And you want to give no reason for them to end your life.
You're both right.
215-227-2727, the number for all things legal in Philly. If you've got a legal issue, give us a call today. Kenny or I will answer your question. I promise you, no matter what it is, we will have an answer.
Absolutely.
you're tossing things out like in protest, and one of them inadvertently and accidentally hits an ICE officer.
It's Owens.
Is it a problem?
It is a problem.
Why?
Because you had the intent to toss it. And then therefore you can be held accountable for the consequence of that intentional act. And so it's called transference of intent. I think one of the easiest analogies, if you and I decide we're going to go into a bank or a store and rob somebody, and during the course of that robbery, you shoot somebody and kill somebody.
Schoolie D, steady B.
Even though I may not have done that in Pennsylvania, that is still what's known as felony murder. I am responsible for your act because it was logically seen, it was rationally seen that could be a consequence. And felony murder in Pennsylvania is mandatory life. So you are responsible for what foreseeably flows from the actions of your co-conspirators.
Or yourself.
Or yourself. Well, if it's from you, then I'm not. If it's from you, the transfer of intent doesn't occur because you intended to do it.
But I intended to throw it, but not to hit that guy that it ended up hitting.
Then and there at that time? Right.
But that is a reasonable and foreseeable consequence. That is a reasonable and foreseeable outcome of what you did intend to do. And so you will be held responsible.
Okay. What's the biggest problem you see somebody going through the criminal justice system does or fails to do?
The biggest problem they do is talk. Mm. Keep your mouth closed.
What about to your cellie, like in the lockup?
Okay. That's worse. Because they're already in jail, so they already have their problems, so they are trying to figure out how to get out of their problems. And so if they can drag you in, if they can offer information on what you've done, on what you've told them, that could perhaps help them. So that's the biggest mistake. Don't talk to your cellie. Don't get on the phone and talk. They're listening. They're recording. don't send letters home. They're reading, they're photocopying. The only
What's
conversations
the
you can have There's that are protected
something in my ear.
Are with your attorney.
Can you hear me?
That is the only person you should be talking to.
Simple enough. Silence.
Is that the you have the right to remain silent? Is
silence
that what they really mean,
right? From your first encounter with law enforcement until you're out of jail.
Can you talk or talk to one of you?
And but the caveat I'm going to put on what you said, you have the right to remain silent. That only applies to if you're speaking to law enforcement. What I'm saying is it goes further than that. Because if you, even if you're speaking to private citizens, while those rights, that protection doesn't kick in, it is still detrimental to you. Because as a private citizen, you're trying to get yourself out of trouble. And you can tell law enforcement. Now, I can't suppress my statements to you because law enforcement didn't do it. But law enforcement can use the information that you gave them against me.
Against you? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Even exculpatory statements, I wasn't there. And then it was determined through your cell phones that you, in fact, were. 2年後のリベンジを果たした。まさに因縁の対決を前に、会場は早くも熱気に包まれていた。発症した国が、負けは一瞬で、心の不安で、then come back and pick it up after the crime and bring it with you. Now, that's highly unlikely if your cell phone was there and you were and it was with you when you got caught up, then that's a problem. And there's and that brings up a whole other thing that you didn't really have to deal with when you were a kid. Okay, a kid attorney, I meant. You've got all this digital evidence and footprints now. How do you deal with that? And from a defense standpoint, do you have people that you can bring in who can use that information to your client's benefit?
And so when I say don't talk, what I'm also including is don't get on social media. Because you will be surprised how many times they subpoena, bring in the records from Instagram. Go on to your Instagram. Go on to your Facebook. Go on to your TikTok. Go on to your Twitter. And you're standing there with guns. You're standing there with proceeds. You're standing there throwing up gang signs or whatever it is. That is talking.
Are they still doing all that stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Every day. Especially in the feds. Absolutely.
Can I tell you something?
Absolutely.
There's a segue here from criminal to civil,
right?
Because the very first thing that happens when I call an insurance company to open a claim on behalf of Manuel Glenn, who was just in an accident, is they need your name, your address, your date of birth. Okay, they won't open a claim without that. Give them that information, and within an hour, they have your entire social history downloaded.
Wow.
Every photograph, every statement. If you talked about having a back injury 2 years ago on social media, they know about it.
Or if you talk about being hurt in this situation and then they see you on social media doing cartwheels, cutting the grass, chopping down trees.
Absolutely.
I imagine it's the same issue.
Same issue.
People have private social media accounts.
They break through that.
They legally have the right to do that. Folks need to hear that. Can they do it?
They can absolutely do that, yes.
All right.
They'll get a court order. They'll get a subpoena. They'll get a warrant and get your information.
But they're all right.
Little more difficult for him because of the criminal protections.
Mm.
But in the civil side, it's fair game. If they can find a way to get to your information, they're going to get it.
It's the same in criminal.
Have been in Facebook jail. We've had our accounts taken away from us. Can they access that stuff that we can't even access?
It's on a server somewhere. It's in the cloud somewhere. Your provider still has that information. And just because you can't access it doesn't mean the provider doesn't have it somewhere.
The
answer is yes.
By the same token, on a civil case, I can do an analysis of the defendant's phone and determine if the defendant's eyes were looking at his screen at the time of the accident.
I didn't know that.
There's a whole lot of information that's available today on one's devices that was never available back in the day.
Is it making it easier or harder for you guys?
Oh, exponentially harder.
It's harder.
And I would suggest that there are even cars now that track all of that. The cars have the cameras all in there.
Tesla certainly do. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal in Philly. Are you getting cases from these ICE protests? Have you seen any work that's generated from all of the additional federal activity that's going on around the country?
Most of it has an immigration component to it, and so I don't deal with immigration. I don't know that area of the law well enough to competently represent somebody. But just the strict criminal activity, the strict criminal charges that are brought, absolutely. There's an uptick, and we see those all the time.
Give us an example of what that looks like.
Just like you said, if there's a protest, you may be out there lawfully protesting. You may have the right to gather and voice verbally, give your opposition to things. But once it turns physical, there are federal statutes already on the book that say you can't touch the law enforcement. You can't touch federal. You can't be physically aggressive with them. And so that's, you start getting the assaults, you start getting the impeding public officials, law enforcement officials from being able to do their job. And those are the cases that they're bringing.
So what's the, as far as recording their actions, is that legal?
You're out in public. You can record what you want to do in public. You just can't be in a physical position where you are impeding or interrupting or interfering with them doing their job.
So if they say, stop recording, put your phone down or give me your phone.
You don't have to.
Well, so folks will say you're disobeying a law enforcement officer, right?
As long as you are not impeding them, as long as you are not physically in the way, as long as you are not preventing them from doing their job, you're standing out on a public street corner. Why can't you record?
How about in terms of physical space? While they're doing, you're filming while they're doing their job. If you're not in the way, but you're close, you see what I'm saying?
Again, if your number one job is to get home, step back.
Step back. Okay.
You can still record. Just step back. Make sure you are not in the way. Make sure they can't construe. And mind you, you have this on video. So make sure they can't construe it that you are impeding them, that you are interfering with them. Be far enough away where you can do that.
And let me just say this in defense of law enforcement. If they are carrying out their duties and you got protesters around, a law enforcement officer is also worrying about the person they're dealing with. Do they have a weapon? They're concerned about their life as well. And you're distracting them. That could be a problem. So I get that part.
Yes, sir.
Don't think I'm ignorant to that, folks. Law enforcement does need the space to do what they're doing. Right?
Agree.
All right.
Agree.
The biggest fear with these protests, Dean, is outside agitation and infiltrators to these protests. And next thing you know, stuff is on fire.
Well, that's why you go back to Ken's original caveat. You got to get home. And so you have to be able to assess the threat level of the engagement you're involved in. And if it gets to a point where it gets too crazy, you need to back up and separate yourself.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Assess the danger level. Assess the danger level to yourself. Assess the danger level that they will perceive they are under and act accordingly.
And Tactic could tell you, I'm somebody, for 3 days I was out there for the George Floyd protests at night. I saw it all, fires, fights, agitations, everything. So I get a good sense what that atmosphere is like, and I can see how things can get out of hand. And now it's worse.
Yes, sir.
Because it feels like the ICE agents aren't helping the situation.
No, and I would argue in most cases they're making it worse.
Yeah.
They are agitating as well.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, wearing the masks
is intimidating.
Intimidating from the jump. And coming out in massive numbers.
Guns across their shoulder, in their vest, in their hands, batons in their hands.
Jumping out of just regular vehicles. Yeah.
Yeah, we're in a weird place right now, and I don't know where it's going from here. Where do you see it going? Is this going to get reined back in by the courts? Because really, that's the only thing that separates, us from complete chaos is the court system. Are they going to put a brake on what's going on?
We have to utilize the courts. We have to have trust and faith that the court system will continue to act as it is historically done. Now, we have to do that with the realistic knowledge that there has been a concerted and consistent effort to pack the courts.
Mm. Pack them with who?
Those who are sympathetic and or aligned with the ideologies of those currently in power. Which is a problem. But just because there's a problem doesn't mean we stop trying. Doesn't mean we stop fighting. Just because there's a lot of evidence doesn't mean we don't fight.
All right, we got some callers, and we're coming up on the break. So I'm going to get one in quickly. If you're on the line, stick around. We'll get you either before or after this upcoming break. Line two, Ronnie from Germantown.
Imagine that. Good morning, Ronnie.
Oh, Ronnie.
Good morning, family. How's everybody doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Happy Ronnie. New Year. What?
All right. Hey.
What's going check through your mind right now, young lady?
Okay. So, check this out. I hear what the gentleman is saying. He's given a lot of great information. But here's where it gets out of pocket. Well, it's out of pocket anyway, but gets further worse than that. I'm at Broughton Erie, and I'm watching ICE agents attack people. I'm 30 feet away, almost to 15th Street, and I'm filming it. Now the ICE agents are moving up the street. They see me filming, and they come and they grab me. They snatch my bag, they snatch my camera, and they drag me in. We've already seen that happen. So I heard the gentleman talking about them, you know, just dealing with the so-called perpetrators or what have you. But they're actually going after people. We saw it in Minneapolis. There was a clip where they went after the lady and grabbed her hair.
Ripped her out of her car.
All that other stuff. Right. So where ICE is not drawing the line. Let's keep it real.
All right.
This is all out wilding.
All right, Ronnie. Here's my answer. Do what Ken suggests and live to fight another day. That doesn't mean we're going to let them get away with that illegal search, that illegal arrest or seizure. I want to say that there's a young boy who got caught up in the George Floyd protests. He had done nothing wrong. He was ripped from his car and his arm was broken. And Dean Weitzman and his team got him $1 million. Okay, $1 million for their behavior, for what they did to him. And so rest assured that if you live to fight another day, there's me on the other side who's going to enforce your rights against these institutions in a real, meaningful way.
Okay.
Get home safely.
Because if you think that we're going to tolerate, I don't care if it's ICE, I don't care if it's the FBI, the DEA, the CIA, I'm going after them if they violate my client's rights, and I will make them pay. Ronnie, thanks for calling Court Radio, and I'll see you on the next call. Folks, we're at the break. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in 2 minutes. If you've got questions, cue them up. We're going to answer them right when we come back. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, my Philly lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, We will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
More legal answers? Here's more court radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, 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 we're back. Live and in the studio. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to court radio. I am your host, Dean Weitzman, and I am broadcasting live on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
You may be hearing us elsewhere, and you certainly may be seeing us if you took the time to surf onto the web. If you go to the My Philly Lawyer website and click on Court Radio, you can find the little button for YouTube Live, and the feed will show up on your desktop, your cell phone, your laptop, your tablet, whatever it is. And you can also watch those shows in perpetuity. Like to get a little Latin out there in the morning. I am joined in the studio with my friend and colleague, Kenneth Edelin. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning.
Kenny is a criminal defense attorney who's got extensive experience, having been in private practice for a long time, but before that, working at the Philadelphia Defenders Association, one of the preeminent defenders associations in the United States and also in the Federal Defenders Association. So he knows how to handle criminal defense cases both in state and in federal court. And he is a seasoned trial attorney. Now he's not old, but he is seasoned.
I'm old too, but like I like seasoned.
Like a good piece of meat. Having graduated from Morehouse College and Howard University School of Law, he's got all the right credentials. Folks, how do folks get in touch with you if they or their loved one needs your advice?
Give me a call, 215-316-9116. You can find me on social media. You can go to the web, Edelin Law, E-D-E-L-I-N-L-A-W. Be happy to talk to you. Be happy to see if I can help you.
And he's also a member of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity, and I'm not going to do the – I'm not doing it.
Good for you.
Thank you. We've had this discussion.
I learned.
Good for you.
And look at the shirt he's wearing. He always has some hint.
You figure out a way to do that.
Yeah.
That purposely goes.
It just comes natural. It comes natural.
He's always got that that hue of purpleness about him.
The hue of purpleness.
And that's a good thing.
Like a chapter from a book.
That's a good thing.
We've been talking about, you know, dealing with law enforcement because they're out and about far more than we've ever really had to experience in this country. This is, you know, I mean, the people compare this to the 1930s Germany.
Gestapo.
And you know, where people are asking for your papers. You know, this wasn't America a half a dozen years ago.
Papers, please.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Really? In America? We're the bad guys, it seems like now.
Oh, around the world.
It feels that way.
Wait a minute. We're talking about taking by force Greenland.
Yeah, exactly. We're just going to take it. We're going to take it. NATO was formed because of Russia aggression.
Yeah.
We're Russia.
Yeah.
We're the aggressor.
Yeah.
What I worry about are folks that travel a lot right now, Americans who are traveling. I'm wondering, are we more at risk than we've been before?
Well, I could say this. I'm not sure if we are, but it feels like we are.
Mm. And they're certainly putting out warnings,
yes,
telling you where to go, be careful when you go.
Yeah.
And all of that. So, absolutely.
Mm.
Our standing and our stock in the world is plummeting.
I saw a great post. The rest of the world, it's not us, it's him.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find that out because us votes, right? Us makes the decisions on who the him is. And we didn't do the best job on the last go-round. We have an election coming up in 11 months.
That was far too kind. We did a terrible job the last go-round.
A lot of folks are realizing it now.
Yeah.
Hopefully enough.
Yeah, prices aren't coming down, and the tariff war hasn't worked out into our benefit.
Your loved ones are being snatched. Your loved ones are being sent somewhere else.
Yeah.
Your loved ones are being incarcerated.
It's a little bit of everything, and the question is what's going to happen in November, but we'll see. That's a story for another day. In the meantime, there are things that you can do if you're engaged with law enforcement. And we're going to talk about those in a minute. But let's talk to Joseph. Oh, Joseph on line one.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone.
Good morning, sir.
This is for you and your panel, but specifically maybe if Ken will accept it because of his credentials, which is so outstanding, Morehouse and Howard, and also maybe because of the era in which you live. So if ICE is what ICE is and the law is what law is, then how much have we learned from the civil rights movement? Whereas this is no different. If protest then in the 60s was what it meant, then why can't that be seen now with the court? It just appears to me, and correct me where I might be wrong, that it's so much compliance that the pushback on protest is just taking a second seat. But with that being said, with so much happening from the arc of the civil rights movement to now, what does one do in terms of legal cases, such as people such as John Hinckley that gets released after a certain period of time? And now we're seeing it being played on the courts with that Maggiano gentleman that killed the UnitedHealthcare executive. What does that mean now for that black man who was the individual who set those bombs in Washington that took several years to find out who he is living in Maryland? What does that say for his case? Because all of it seems to be connected with the issue of race and color and gender.
I don't see
that. All right. I'm having a hard time following that, but I want to say this. You know, when we look back in Alabama in 1968, 69, again, I was very young at the time. But I recall seeing news reels of black men and white men who were protesting with bloodied faces, with fire hoses, with German Shepherd dogs biting their limbs. So I saw with my own eyes the federal government overreaching then, and I see it now. So I think that. While I don't agree with what's going on, I think there is a historic component to this that we've seen before and we've made it through. I guess my hope and my wish is that what we see today will not be what we see, let's say, a year from now or 2 years from now, and we will be on the other side of this and we will maybe have grown from it, I hope.
Joseph, I think you're around our age. You remember Kent State, Ohio, four dead in Kent in Ohio. You remember the president at that time. You remember the conventions. You remember all the riots in the streets. You remember the civil rights movement. I would say the difference now is the person in the White House, they're part of the agitation, and that's the biggest difference.
And so ultimately, yes, you are right. History is repeating itself. This is not anything new. This is something that we have been through before, we have seen before. And we fought through before. So I think that's the key. The eternal optimist in me says we will continue to fight. The courts will ultimately do what's right. The voters will ultimately do what's right. And we will get back to some sense of normalcy that we enjoyed after we had gotten through those original hurdles. But those hurdles, those beliefs, those mores certainly didn't disappear They were just held in abeyance. They were just more clandestine. And the current climate, the current administration has allowed them to resurface. But it's up to us to continue the fight. And it's up to us to get them back in their place.
Yeah. Hope.
Hope.
That's kind of the word of, you know, of the day. There is a hope that this will pass, but that we will grow from it and that things will not be simply simmering under the surface, but we will resolve our differences and learn to work together and you know, because what happened in the 60s, you know, in the 70s and 80s, the hostilities were still there. They were just under the surface, unbeknownst to me. I was in some fog, I guess, because I really didn't think that this could happen. I thought we were better than this. And I was wrong. Can we really move forward, not just push it under the rug, but actually deal with whatever the issues are that brought about this day and age?
I think social media complicates things.
Just let me also put one caveat on what you said. Hope, I align with faith. But what we know is that faith without works is dead. So we can't just hope. We can't just have faith. Have to work.
Yeah.
And we have to do the work. And the work is hard. The work is dangerous. And the work is scary. But the work is for us. And more importantly, the work is for our children and their children who are coming up after us.
In that vein, and kind of, you know, segueing from your area of specialty, have you seen folks who you've represented who went to jail and who came out different people? Is there any rehabilitative process that you can look back on and go, wow, that was a success story?
Certainly there are opportunities for rehabilitation, but I would suggest that they are few and far between. I would suggest...
Is that a systemic problem?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Or is it a person problem?
No, it's a systemic problem. It is not the incarceration machine is not set up and has never been set up to rehabilitate anybody. And despite the fancy words or the platitudes or whatever we try to couch it as, let's understand, it is to put people away. It is to separate people. It is to
punish,
put them in and punish them in conditions that are inhumane. And so you cannot help but be affected by that negatively.
How would you change things if you could?
Incarceration has to be the last resort. We have to get to a point where we are looking at the underlying reasons for a person's behavior. We have to look at the social and economic conditions that they were forced to live in, they were forced to grow up in, they were forced to learn in, they were raised in, and take that into account. We can't lock people up because their circumstances led them to be addicted to substances. We can't lock them up because they suffer from mental health challenges, mostly brought on by the circumstances and the conditions that they were in.
Do you have any feeling about this kind of idea these days that young offenders, when we have young offenders, their parents should suffer consequences for the behaviors of their children?
So first of all, what I would say is it's not a feeling. Science tells us that young offenders' brains, they are not emotionally, mentally, psychologically equipped, able to make adult decisions. Now, do we hold parents accountable for that? It depends on what the parents' conduct and or lack of conduct was. It depends on what the parents were going through, what the parents had to survive to get to where they are. Can I hold you accountable as a 16-year-old who just had a baby at 16? You grew up with your child. So how am I imparting, how am I saying the child's social and economic condition led them to do what they did and not take into account what your social and economic condition was, what your lack of access to funds, to resources, to education, to food, to water, to light, to heat, to home was. Right? I mean, I think we have to take all of that into account. We have to look at people holistically, not just what it says on paper, not just what that 5-minute action. Because most times the folks I find that I have to represent are in custody or caught up in the legal system for an action that took 5 minutes. And so how don't we need to look at the totality, the 21 years of their life
again
versus the 5 minutes of that action?
And how does that look to you? If we were the best that we could be, how would that look? What would we then do
it goes
differently than we do now?
It goes to funding. It goes to acknowledging the issues. It goes to recognizing the issues. It goes to putting the funding, the resources, the mechanisms in place to deal with and combat and reteach, relearn what those conditions were. It goes back to solving some of the social and economic and moral issues that we have devolved into.
I believe a number of folks are walking around traumatized, and it's not being addressed. And that's why you have a 5-minute encounter that turns into a 10-year sentence. I think a lot of us are walking around damaged and could use some counseling and some therapy. I think that should be a part of the process as it relates to
And not necessarily damaged from a specific incident,
yeah,
but damaged from how you had to grow up.
That's what I mean.
What you had to do to survive. Mm-hmm. Most people are surviving life, not living life.
So how about this?
Yeah.
We require vaccinations to get to kindergarten, okay? At least we did anyway.
Right, so far. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
We all had to get that.
We sure did.
That,
the little needle thing, and then the gun. Yeah,
the gun thing on the side. So the medical exposure to doctors is required in order to get vaccinations. What if we had a world where you also had to see a psychologist half a dozen times in your between, you know, kindergarten and sixth grade, where there would be interactions, where there could be interventions, where there could be things done to thwart the horrible things that these kids have had to grow up in? That to me is you want once you're 16 or 18, it's a lot harder to undo the damages that brought you to the point where you're committing a crime.
And then you got a driver's license. You're behind the wheel of a car with all that drama.
We need to spend money on mental health, and we need to spend it at the beginning of life.
They get past the stigma first. That's going to be an issue with a lot of folks.
Well.
But you're right.
If you required in exposure to that, the stigma very quickly goes away. Like it feels good. You're feeling like you're more productive or you're more comfortable in your own skin, and so the stigma falls away from that process.
Which means it has to be widespread, because just because you feel good and you no longer are burdened with the stigma, everybody around you is still looking at you.
Right.
Yeah. That's the reality.
All right. We're coming up to the break, folks. If you've got a legal issue, I know we took some crazy detours today, but I thought they were important to talk about. If you've got a legal issue, we still have time. Give us a call in 2 minutes. We'll be right back. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years.
Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's More Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning, and welcome back. Do I have a microphone? Thank you.
You definitely have a microphone.
We are Court Radio, and I am Dean Weitzman, your host. Broadcast right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
This show has been devoted to topics sociological and criminal in nature. And we have been joined by my friend and colleague, Kenneth Edelin of Edelin Law
yes,
and
sir.
Associates.
Yes, sir.
Is there any associates in there?
Always.
Okay.
You.
Me. I am an associate. Kenny worked for the Federal Defenders Association. He also worked at the Defenders Association of Philadelphia. He was a chief there at some point, right?
Chief of the Major Trial Unit.
Chief
defender.
Of the major trial.
Not chief defender.
Okay.
It's like defender. It's like a cool title, though. Chief,
I'm not
yeah,
that important.
That's political.
Never was that important.
Nah, come on. That's chief defender is political. Chief of the major trials is a seasoned, saucy trial attorney.
That's real good stuff, though.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Sounds
good. Can we give you that, bro?
Yeah.
Sounds
come
good.
On.
Sounds
no.
good.
Because if there's ever an office that just sounds like we are the defenders. Like, whoa.
That organization in Philly is no joke.
I've heard.
No joke.
Yeah. Legendary.
Yep, they are. Well, in any event, we were talking about criminal justice. And before the break, we were talking about whether it's possible for folks to get rehabbed. Ken does not see much of that because of the way the system is set up. I've heard that we spend approximately $40,000 a year to incarcerate one person, 40 grand. So, you know, those people who are out there saying, they're just criminals and let them rot in the jail and blah, blah. There's still an economic component here. There's an economic component. If you could reduce crime, here's the question. If you could reduce crime and it cost you half the amount of money.
Taxpayer dollars.
Yep. So instead of paying 40, you only pay 20.
Mm-hmm.
And that 20 went to providing shelter and food and mental health treatment to the person who was in jail. And they could be out on the street actually contributing to society instead of taking from society. Would you agree to do that?
Who are you asking?
I'm asking the ether. I'm asking our listeners. I'm asking Philadelphia. If you could spend half the money you spend to incarcerate and to accomplish better results, would you do that? Or are you, and you, this is what you have to ask yourself in the quiet time of your own, you know, would you say no? I want that person locked up. And if it costs me more to lock them up, I'm happy to pay it.
And the scarier question is, are you saying, no, I want those people locked up?
Those people.
Those people.
Yeah.
Those
That's
people.
The scarier question. So do you want to spend the money to give us a chance to prevent crime? or are you more comfortable with just locking those people up?
And of course, you can never lock up enough of those
people.
Right?
And so, those people get back, they come out.
Yeah, but only
they don't stay forever.
Only for a short while.
And the definition of those depends on what your particular vision is, what lens you are looking through.
Mm. Right, right. Mm. So we're building enough, you know, prisons that we can continue.
Private prisons.
I know.
Is big business.
They're making money. We as a country lock up more people per capita than any other country in the world.
That's fact, folks.
Now, what logically flows from that is that we make more money by locking more people up.
That's the bottom.
So I don't know who the we is making that cash, but I know who the we is who's paying that cash, and that comes from tax dollars, and that comes from working folks. So,
but you know, if there are entities out there that are making a bunch of money, they are not incentivized to prevent folks from getting locked up.
Here's a caveat. Dean, you said we're spending $40,000. Let's take half of it and put it over here.
Yeah.
All right. But that $20,000 you're taking away, who's eating because of that $20,000? You took some money out of somebody's pocket when you did that.
Yeah.
And are those folks going to be happy about that?
I really don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. But
the question is, should we care?
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm cutting into your profit margin,
we probably
shouldn't.
Care? But he and I, listen, somebody is going to take a hit in their pocket.
Yeah.
That's what gets people's attention if you do that. And that's really what this is about. And that's the sad thing.
And they
profit
have
profit margin.
They have lobbyists. They have folks that believe the way they believe. And
can I just say this?
They don't have to take that position. They don't have to feel like we're taking from their pocket. They just need to pivot.
Okay.
Because instead of being in the criminal justice system, maybe we should be in the mental health justice system.
Is there money in it?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
We can monetize it. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. We just need to move to a more humane way to treat folks and to get better results. I'm not suggesting I'm looking forward to a lawless society where we're all scared to leave our homes. I'm saying that we could have a society where everybody is healthier and more productive than we are today.
Agreed.
And the guys who are making money on prisons, we could have, you know, mental health drive-bys, you know, drive-ins, where there's mental health workers.
All right, Demolition Man.
we're punching up against the time. Folks, we're almost out of time. I really appreciate everybody's participation today. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, sir.
One more time, real quickly, how do people get in touch with you?
215-316-9116. I'm all over social media, KCEESQ. Go to the website.
I look forward to your morning, drive-ins to work where you're smoking a cigar and telling us a tip for the day. I haven't
smoked my cigar on the way in.
Yeah, me too.
It's the new year. I'm starting off slow with the social media.
Padrone.
Me too.
Padrone. He's not talking about his favorite cigar.
My price point is a little different than yours.
But quality doesn't suffer.
Quality does not suffer.
Okay.
Shout out to Holtz.
Yeah.
Good one.
Antony. All right, folks. We'll be back next time. Same place, same channel. See you then. Have a great week.